namely that the negative qualities that people have are simply absence of certain positive qualities. So the person who is obnoxious really is because that person hasn't learned how to be polite. It is the politeness that is missing. The person who is unkind, what is missing is the capacity of being kind. So the focus, instead of being you should do something about your being unkind, is you should do something to be more kind. It is much easier to work on yourself to become more kind rather than to try to become less unkind, because problems are enormous, immense, if you were going to look at them. Doesn't matter how many problems you identify, there are more on them. But if you try to focus on the positive qualities of the other person, what is real about them, then the process of change is much easier, much nicer to see, and so forth. So, going back to the issue of love, therefore, at the level of cooperative love, we will become then aware that A, we have to love ourselves for what we are and the positive qualities that we have, and B, love the other person for the same reason. Love the other person for the same reason. And C, begin to allow ourselves to get involved in the process of evolving that love further, which I will describe very soon. But before we go to the next stage, there is another stage of love that should be mentioned here. I mentioned three stages so far. One direction of love, competitive type of love, and cooperative type of love. And I said that cooperative type of love is the ideal type of love in the context of marriage relationship. But human beings, as they evolve and grow and mature in their overall relationship, they can achieve another stage of love, which is called unconditional type of love. The unconditional type of love is a situation that only would come if the person has gone through the one directional, the competitive, and the cooperative. I have seen many people who walk around and says, well, I have unconditional love. And they never have gone to that earlier stages. And by and large, these people you would see that have difficulty even understanding the phenomena of love. The best way I can describe unconditional love is like sunshine. You know, what the sun does, it shines over everything. The sun doesn't come out one morning and says, well, today I'm not going to shine over that person because I don't like the color of the clothes that she has on. You see? Or saying that I like that person, but really the hairdo is lousy today, better not to shine on him so nobody would see. The sun wouldn't do that, okay? The sun would shine over everyone, and it would show reality of people, okay? It would show reality of the other person. In the context of unconditional love, the same thing happens. When you begin to love people unconditionally, you will see that some people respond to you positively, some people get mad at you, some people respond to you very negatively. And it is the reason for that process is because that kind of a love relationship, without conditions attached to it like it is in the marriage and so forth, without the contracts that are between people, then people don't know what to do with that kind of a love. Because when you love them unconditionally, if they are unable to love back, sometimes they get upset. But that's all right, you just love and go. You don't need to do much. But the unconditional love is the love, the level of love that the person becomes the lover of mankind. You become the lover of humanity. And at this level, the preoccupation with yourself is far, far less than it is in all other levels. In other levels, you always have to be, and rightly so, to one degree or another, preoccupied with yourself. You have to. But here, that doesn't become necessary. Once again, I'd like to emphasize that in the context of the marital relationship, love is developmental. It goes from the one-directional love to the competitive stage, to the cooperative stage, and it is the cooperative stage that you want to achieve. Let's look and see whether there are certain dimensions of love that we can understand and identify, kind of a break down this phenomenon of love to different dimensions, and to see whether we could identify with them in our own experience. Again, the focus is marriage. Okay. Usually the first dimension of love between two individuals, a man and a woman, let's say, is that they have attraction to one another. Two people, a man and woman, they come across each other, they look at each other, they like the way that the other person looks, they look the shape of nose or toes or knees or whatever, and they fall in love. Say, what happened? Say, well, I have fallen in love. Okay. They become totally attracted toward one another. They see the other person as the most beautiful of all beauty. They cannot think of anybody else or anything else. They have these pangs of yearning in their hearts all the time. When they are away from the other person, then they want to be with that person constantly. And it's fantastic feeling. At the same time, it is very painful. Love is always accompanied by pain. Because any time that you are in love, on the one hand, there is the process of unity and union with your loved one. And on the other hand, is the situation of separation and loss and the danger of rejection. And under those circumstances, pain is there. You either yearn to be with your beloved and you are full of pain that you are not, or when you are with your beloved, you become full of fear and anxiety that you are going to be separated and this love would go away. So at all times with love, there is pain. Now, the love that is solely dependent upon the mutual attraction, however, usually is a short-lived love. Because attraction is a very transitory phenomenon. Two individuals love each other and everything is fantastic, they get married, and then they discover all of the idiosyncrasies of the other person. The way that the person snores, the way that the person brushes his or teeth or her teeth, they use the toothpaste tube and what they do with it. the way that they do all kinds of things become so irritating that this original attraction suddenly becomes clouded with all kinds of difficulties of this nature. And that's the reason that the love relationships that are primarily based, or solely based, I should say, on mutual attraction, gradually loses its intensity. And there is another danger, and the danger is that you can come across somebody else that you will find more attractive. And then what? You're going to fall in love with this person and fall out of love with that person? Yes, that's what exactly is happening in our society today. People are engaged in the kind of a serial kind of a monogamy in which they fall in love with one person, then leave that person, go to another person, and so forth. Okay? Then there is a second dimension of love, and that's mutual gratification. People fall in love with each other because they can allow each other to be satisfied and satisfy the other person's so many needs. You see, we all have needs. We have the need for somebody to tell us that we are beautiful, that we are lovable, that we are marvelous, that we are the best person in the world, that we are intelligent, that we are this and that. We need that. So somebody comes and says all of those things and some of those things, so we fall in love. Or the love can be based on the needs because we are lonely and somebody becomes our companion. Because we are afraid that nobody else would love us and therefore we accept the attention of this one person and so forth. The problem with the gratification, the mutual gratification of the needs and the wants is that the needs and the wants of people change. So while at one time it was the most important thing for us, somebody to tell us that we were so beautiful, at another time we don't need that any longer. We need somebody to acknowledge other qualities that we have. And if the husband and wife, therefore, their love was based on that initial mutual gratification, they would find their time very difficult with one another. In my observation, majority of the love relationships in the North American society are characterized by mutual attraction and or mutual gratification. Most people fall in love based on these phenomena. And most people fall out of love because their love is limited to these two characteristics. Eventually, as the lovers begin to relate to each other, they need to experience another phenomenon. And the other phenomenon that they need to experience is mutual growth. You see, if you love something or somebody, you have to help that person to grow. You cannot love something and not allow it to grow unless that thing is dead. If I love this plant, I cannot put it under a cover, a huge, let's say, glass cover, and say, I love it so much, I want it to be protected, I don't want anything to come and hurt it, I put it here. So it dies. If you love a child and say, I love my child so much, I'm not going to wean him from breastfeeding, and I'm just going to just let him to lie there, I give him big bottles to drink, I love him so much, he would be big, and I wouldn't want him to suffer pain. I don't want him to walk because he can fall down when he tries to walk. God forbid. So I'm going to love him by not allowing him to grow. You don't do that. What you do is exactly the opposite. What you do, you allow your child to experience pain of growth. And you allow him to experience pain of growth because you love him. You don't overprotect him from growth. Rather, you guide him to grow. If you don't do that, it doesn't grow. You know, if you have a big apple tree, and this apple tree is not pruned and is not allowed to cultivate itself, it grows, but it grows to give you crab apples. It doesn't give you the Macintosh apple. The Macintosh apple requires pruning and the pain that is necessary there. This is an essential phenomenon that we have to realize, that accompanying love at all times is the pain of growth. And the husbands and wives, therefore, have to be very aware of this process. So if I want to love myself, I have to help myself to grow and allow my spouse to help me to grow. And the other way around has to happen. Okay? Now what happens if we begin to grow in the love relationship? What would happen is that the mutual gratification that we had gradually would give way to another phenomenon, and that is a mutual purpose. You see, in life we have goals and then we have a purpose. We can have many objectives in life, and as you know, whenever you have a mutual objective, you feel very close to each other and you feel in love. For example, if you are going to build a house, let's say, you go and work very hard, day and night. You don't see hardly each other at all. You suffer quite a bit, but you feel so close to each other because you have a mutual goal that you are working on it. And you feel very great that you have that mutual goal. You feel in love. And then you move into the house and begin fight. You begin to fight. Why? Because no longer you have a goal. Okay? Then you set another goal. You say, let's have children. Many couples have difficulties in their marriage, in their love relationship. They say, let's have a child, thinking that the child is a marriage counselor and would come and improve their marriage. And they're surprised. The children don't know anything about marriage. They are actually very lousy at it, you know. But nevertheless, it becomes a goal, a mutual goal for them. Who is going to get up tonight? And you know what they do? They both get up at the beginning. Later on, they learn that it's not necessary. But there is a mutuality in all they do, and consequently, they are close to each other. Okay? However, these limited goals, however important they are not sufficient. What is necessary is a purpose in life, a meaning for life, the ultimate purpose. And it is toward that ultimate purpose that they have to focus their love, their yearning. And what is the ultimate purpose of marriage? The ultimate purpose of marriage is unity. Unity has to become the ultimate purpose of the marriage. And therefore the mutual gratification would give way to the mutual purpose. We shall work together to accomplish ever higher degrees of unity. And when I talk at unity, I'm talking at two levels. First of all, unity within ourselves as people. So so that you have a unity of heart and you have a unity of mind and unity